Blog Talk Radio.
Yo, my man Max 611's mind's like a weapon. Big brother off the new bubbles in New York. We walk the walk and we talk the talk. Got some serious sports fans who bark from the heart. Sophisticated talk for your modern day fan. Your number one resource for your fantasy draft. The illest sports show, all you cats got to know. Already we the greatest, imitators got to go. We in the paint, come and join in the debate. We came to shake the state till they hear us out of space. Where opinions are expressed with rugged intellect. Put it down to represent for the team you love the best. The Knicks, the Giants, the Yankees, the Mets, the Johnnies, the Orangemen, the Huskies, the Jets. And yes, the Islanders, the Devils, and Rangers. When the East is in the house, oh my God, danger.
We in the paint, come and join in the debate. We came to start the convo that'll keep you up to date. Yeah, we in the paint, got the game on smash. Put the whole sports world on blast. We in the paint, getting hot, cause we turning up a notch. On the streets with the real sports talk. We in the paint, meet me at center field tonight. Keep it real, nothing sweet, nothing nice. We in the paint.
In the paint, the realest show in sports. Every Tuesday night, 9 p.m. to 11 p.m. The call-in number is 347-426-3634. Starring Mark Cunningham as Max 611 and Rodney Jones as Big Brother R.
All right, it's Friday night. Between the hours of 9 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, it's the Realest Talk in Sports. We are called In the Paint. The call-in number is 347-426-3634. Good evening, all. I'm your host, Rodney Jones. I also serve as moderator on this show. Tonight, we got a little bit of a special edition, as I have a good, knowledgeable young man by the name of Ryan Foley. His mic is live right now. Ryan is a big time boxing aficionado, and Ryan, what's going on, brother? Hello, Ryan? Hello? You guys hear me? Okay, I guess he dropped for some strange reason. also joining me, Cole, I see what your hand up, but we're going to do a little, something a little different tonight. Okay, I got my man Chandler. Chandler, how you doing tonight, brother?
I'm all right, man. What's going on?
Yeah, same old stuff, man. You know, another night of talking sports, and that's what we're doing. Callers, I see you with your hands up. Well, we're gonna do a little boxing thing, and I see our boy Ryan is online right now, so we're gonna bring him in. Good evening, Ryan. You there?
Yeah, I appreciate it, man. I know you're not a Bomb Squad fan, but you don't gotta hang up that early. Mr. Jones.
I didn't hang up, man. I didn't.
I figured we didn't even get to talk in the box, and you already cut me off. I said it was an early night.
I would never cut you off.
Not
that,
that easy.
yeah, I wouldn't cut you off, brother. Listen, again,
all right.
For those people that's calling in and got their hands up, we ask for a little patience because we got some serious stuff to talk about as far as it relates to this Deontay Wilder versus Tyson Fury fight that's coming up tomorrow night. Ryan, where's this fight going to be held, first of all? I totally forgot.
Oh, we're doing it at Staples Center, L.A.
Oh, okay. See, now,
Los Angeles, so not Las Vegas.
Mm-hmm.
So we can start off
mm-hmm.
off the bat poorly promoted and not respected
right.
spot,
mm-hmm.
as in the spectrum of how heavyweights have done within. Obviously, we had Wembley Stadium with Anthony Joshua doing 80,000. And I think Staples Center will do about 8,000 if you count
okay.
everybody. Maybe staff as well. It's just terrible.
Right. Now, my thing is, you know, I was talking about this with my lady just recently, matter of fact. You know, when we talked about the heavyweights as it relates to championship fights, we talked about how it was a huge event. Do you understand? As a matter of fact, it was
mm-hmm.
the biggest event in sports. You understand what I'm saying?
Yep.
And
absolutely.
It really truly was. Now, my thing is this. With this particular fight, and we're talking about the championship, okay, that's up for grabs, okay, between
mm-hmm.
Deontay Wilder and Tyson Fury.
Yep.
We're not hearing much about it. We're not hearing
no.
much about it. Like, you understand? You had made a few comments on Twitter about this possibly being a low pay-per-view buy event, which I find
absolutely
astounding.
I find it
disgusting.
I mean, all the numbers are pointing to it within how the purse settlement with mm-hmm. how the promotion has gone. You have Frank Warren back in the picture. You have Lou DiBella. Mm-hmm. Notice there's no name behind Deontay Wilder, and there hasn't been.
Right.
And he has basically been his own promoter. And mm-hmm. without basically the outburst from a guy, that's the one thing I had with that Radio Raheem interview this mm-hmm. week. Everybody saw post press conference that they had was he was definitely baiting. And that's what the mm-hmm. guy does. And
right.
I just wish Deontay didn't say his name because then it wouldn't mm-hmm. be brought up.
Right.
But, he's true to the people who brought him up. Deontay has been – he was a Showbox product, a show that
mm-hmm.
I worked for personally.
Mm-hmm.
He was with the Boxing Boys. I used to do many interviews with him. I wrote for them for a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
So Deontay has
mm-hmm.
been true to his supporters in America. It is not – he's just not been promoted properly, and it's just not – it's not a recognizable name. And
mm-hmm.
it sucks for him – profitability-wise, profile-wise,
right.
and if you gave somebody else 40 wins, 39 knockouts, want to buy that fight.
Mm-hmm.
And, the same people that knock him for saying, oh, he hasn't beat anybody, I ask you to name three Tyson wins that are the best in your mind right now. Don't look at BoxRec. don't look at Google.
Right.
Just in
right.
your mind and think to
mm-hmm.
yourself, oh, I don't know, and that's
mm-hmm.
okay. Because you respect him as a knockout artist. So this
right.
man should be on the same level. If you want to pay for knockouts, this is the guy. I mean, what else have you
mm-hmm.
seen from him? He even knocked out the guy that he went to Disson with. Not that Cyburn looked good ever,
mm-hmm.
but he still did it. That's something
right.
Lennox Lewis did. Came back
mm-hmm.
and defeated the man that beat him, only two losses. He still doesn't get enough credit as a heavyweight champ.
Okay.
So we'll see what this sells. I don't feel it's being promoted well. I feel with DAZN and ESPN Plus, we're getting enough quality fights for, bargain value.
Mm-hmm.
And, it is December. Christmas is coming. Hanukkah's the first week of December this year, I believe.
Right.
Happy holidays to everybody. But that's tough to reach in your pockets for $75.
Right. Now, another thing, I was thinking about this and – I wanted to put something out there and see what you and Chandler thought about. Now, I know the promotion is low. Another factor that I believe, and I could be wrong on this, is the fact that in this day and age of technology, people have more than one way to have access to this fight. There's such things as streaming, via online or through, the Fire Stick, Amazon Fire Stick.
Mm-hmm.
In which they can have it, broken and jailbroken, and you can access certain apps and manage to sneak around that. Also, what about the UFC MMA game? Has it taken away from true boxing fans? Have they broken off from boxing? Perhaps they've been turned off in recent times, and they tuned into more UFC/MMA events.
Oh, I think the MMA crowd and the UFC fans have to be used to either going to a local place, as I think co-sponsor like a Buffalo Wild Wings,
mm-hmm.
so to speak, or you're used to having the couple buddies come over and splitting the – it's a little lower in cost. The UFC pay-per-view is about 60 or 65.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's just
right.
a 12-pack, and a pizza maybe,
mm-hmm.
either or, but – either way, you're having a crowd more for UFC. It's bigger. It's,
mm-hmm.
it's a walk-around casual event, and boxing's not like that. Boxing does not have an undercard. UFC
right.
has usually stacked cards, and that's what they've done is turnover
mm-hmm.
product. They pay lower and have more fights. So it's
mm-hmm.
always, boxing has about four fights. UFC
mm-hmm.
always does the extended preview if you have UFC pass. Fight Night Pass, and then they have like
mm-hmm.
FS1 fights with their Fox deal. So they've expanded their platform from cable they've actually done three things. They've done the direct streaming from the additional app that you can buy if you're, you know, a hardcore fan and into it. Then you have, you know, they want to bring in the casual fan with the FS1 preview fights, you know, previewing and promoting the pay-per-view, and then you have the pay-per-view crowd. Those numbers tailor off this or that, but when you're showing like 6 hours of content, you know, who's losing? So it's just smarter, and it's just, you know, boxing just broken up, and there's still a lot of purse money out there, but promotion-wise, there's still no one sanctioning body. We have too many belts, too many weight classes, and, you know, too many wait-and-see promoters.
Okay. Let me get my man Chandler involved in this conversation. Chandler, how you doing tonight, first of all?
I'm all right, man.
All right. Hope all is well with you, brother. Do you have any initial impressions on this particular topic?
Well, I mean, you know, I've been saying for a while that whoever's managing Wilder should be arrested and jailed because it's criminal how they're screwing this kid's career up. It's criminal.
Right.
And I blame him. I blame him as well. You know, take charge of your damn career. This fight should have been being talked about for a while. Now, he's been on multiple platforms. He speaks well. He's got personality. Now, yeah, he's got that Alabama mudfoot drawl, but he comes across like he's from New York. He's a big dude. He's a nice-looking guy. There should have been a media blitz, okay, with this. He should have been on Good Morning America. He should have been on, you know, the ESPN, the First Take, the Fox, you Undisputed, all of that. He should have been on all of those shows talking about this fight, okay? That little snippet that I retweeted the other day shows you how much personality he has. Had he been doing the media blitz and this had come up, man, listen, you'd have all kind of people trying to watch this fight. And when you talk about the pay-per-view, especially with heavyweight, it's an event. You know, you throw the party. You get the food.
Right.
People chip in. You have four, five, six, 10 people over the house. Everybody's drinking, eating. It's an excuse for you to have a party. And if you have a significant other, they say, oh, okay, all right, you can go ahead and have whoever over because I don't feel like listening to you cry about this damn thing. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So even though $75 is a lot at this particular time of year, we all know, listen, you get a couple of cats to chip in, $75 ain't, but you get a couple of people to chip in, somebody's bringing beer, somebody's bringing pizza, boom, you got a little party at the house. That's the whole point of the pay-per-view and how you get the sales up. And instead, nobody even knows who the hell he is, number one. And no one even knows the fight's happening, number two. And then the Staples Center? You know, if they now, they said, I was looking up, the capacity is up to 20,000, but if they, you know what, if they get 10, I'll be shocked.
Wow. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Now, Ryan, I want you to tell, because a channel just hit on something, and it's kind of, it relates to you, because we were talking offline, and you did an experiment, which I found very interesting. You happened to do an experiment around your job at the time. Did you care to tell who the people we have on the line and other listeners what that experiment was in regards to
that? Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it was just a notoriety experiment, and you can look up on YouTube Eddie Hearn's his experiment in New York City, actually. He was in Manhattan in Midtown, and, you know, he would stop strangers and ask, do you know who Deontay Wilder is? And if you were honest, which, you know, maybe, you know, some shock, you know, editing, whatever they may want to do, majority said no. Or they said he plays for the Giants. And I don't know, I thought that was kind of just racist and just wrong in general. Like, all right, just guess pro sports. Like, you know, maybe he's a scientist. Maybe he's an astronaut. I mean, you hear Deontay Wilder, he's got to just be an athlete. I did the same thing just locally, just for the hell of it. Cause I think the video came up and, you know, I asked just various people, and I'm down here, and I was in Broward County at the time. So, you know, we count our votes twice. And, you know, I asked 10 different people, do you know who Deontay Wilder? And no, they have no idea.
Wow.
And I waited. It wasn't like a table. It wasn't like, you know, a group of coworkers, per se, that are going to be in the same knowledge of boxing or sports. or what they'll pay for. But no.
Yeah.
I mean, there's nothing. I mean, when they did at least Canelo Golovkin, there were billboards.
Right. Right.
And you were driving, something on I-95 or something like something that this restaurant, this or that. Like, that made sense. But there's no backing the American heavyweight. And this is the biggest fight since we had Tyson Lewis back in 2002.
Now, it's funny that you just brought up the fact about the billboards while you're going down the highway and the promotion overall, you know what I'm saying? And to go from that to this, which is like barely a blip on a screen, it's embarrassing. You know what I'm saying? It's definitely embarrassing. And another thing, and I don't want to take credit because I'm about to bring this up, Ryan had put this out there. Had it been two white combatants for the title in the heavyweight division, would have gotten more promotion.
Absolutely. White hype sells.
Two white guys, I don't think so, but a white guy and a black guy, absolutely. Because we saw what they did with Mayweather and McGregor. They turned it into a race war. Absolutely. If one of these fighters were white, they absolutely would have been hyping this up. This would have been all over the place. And that's sad but true. And again, Wilder has no kick coming because with the proliferation of social media, like I said, promote your own damn self. You got people starting music careers on social media and you can't promote your own damn fight?
It's a different platform, though. You're casting a different net for getting an audience and getting a demographic where you can wait and you can wait for people to get those views up or those listens up or however they chalk it up on Spotify and whatnot. But when you're going for a million people at the same time for a buy, at the same time, that's like asking people on Spotify to stream the same song at the same time.
I see that, but I guess what I'm saying is just for the name recognition, if nothing else. His name should be on every social media platform. You understand what I'm saying?
Sure, but I mean, you have to name like one artist that can say, I'm going to put out, and they put it out at midnight, maybe if they put it out earlier, but if, per se, Drake puts out a song and says, I'm doing pay-per-view early, 10 p.m. East Coast time, December 1st, how many people are going to buy it? Or are they going to wait?
Yeah, I get that. Again, but I just say, the Twitter game, listen, I know a guy in Canada who built a million-dollar cookie company just off tweeting about his cookies before he ever opened his brick and mortar. Okay?
Wow.
And for 6 months, all he did was post pictures of his cookies. And the day that he went live, his server crashed because he had so many orders. And I know it's kind of apples and oranges, but I'm saying there's multiple ways to get your name out there, and Wilder has availed himself of none of them. None of them.
Yeah, loyal to a fault, so to speak.
Mm.
Same people that got him there, he stuck with there, and that's why he hasn't progressed through, and that's why he's at 40 wins, 39 knockouts in first pay-per-view.
Yeah, and that's why I think that Joshua really – see, to me, Joshua doesn't need to fight Wilder, even though we all think that's the next fight that should happen. He doesn't need to fight Wilder because he's filling Wembley Stadium. He don't have to fight Wilder. He's going to make money no matter what. Wilder needs Joshua. And if I'm Joshua, I'm saying, dude, you better get your profile up. I'm not fighting you until you get your profile up. You got to bring something to the table. Who's Wilder bringing to the table? Me, you, Ryan?
True that.
Right, I'll go to Wembley. I'll go to Wembley for that fight. That'd be something to fly for. So lose one more pay-per-view buy. I'll swing Sweet Caroline and watch it with the American flag. Hopefully not get assaulted in the bathroom.
Exactly, brother. You know? I mean, again, I go back to saying it's a shame that this is just, like, this so underwhelming. I mean, it's not even funny. I mean, it's embarrassing. I mean, the fact that the American public doesn't even, American sports fans don't even recognize that this guy's a champion and he has a fight tomorrow night. You understand? And the fact that Chandler said this, the capacity at Staples Center is like 20,000 people.
There should be more people there for a Lakers game on a Tuesday.
Right, exactly. Exactly. You know what I'm saying? It's embarrassing, man. And just to see how it has regressed from the days where, as Chandler was saying, like, dude, we had parties. You understand? Watch parties. Food, liquor, whatever. You understand? It was an event. You know what I'm saying? And that's a fact that cannot be denied. It was an event, man. Again, I go back to saying it was the biggest thing in sports. Nothing was topping that. You understand? When
you at least talked about it if you didn't watch it.
Right.
You at least knew about it. I think like Tyson McNeely.
Mm-hmm.
That's a horrible fight. That fight did 1.6 million buys. For what reason? Because he was out of prison? That's interesting.
You know?
All right. That's a narrative. These are guys that can actually box. You have Fury that can actually box. He's boring as hell. And that Klitschko fight was terrible. I sort of covered it with the boxing voice and writing for it and having to watch it and score it. And that was some boring-ass boxing. And I think that's the way he's going to win.
Right.
I mean, that's the way he's going to muddy up the scorecards, is to give decisive rounds, to hold, to get inside. I mean, for once, you know, he's got the height advantage. We obviously saw that in the press conference. So when you start to look at the intangibles of the fight, that should sell itself. You have a heavyweight in Fury that's the lineal champ, you know, on a comeback story that, oddly, we love in America. We love the build-up, tear-down, and the build-back-up, and then, you know, we always remind the people of the past, well, you know, you used to be like this, so, okay, great, you know, thanks for the support. So that's the type of thing Fury doesn't care about. He doesn't care about the naysayers, so that's coming to the table stylistically, and Deontay Wilder should come to the knockout streak. And you have people saying he's a horrible boxer. He's a world champion. So start with some respect.
Right.
WBC champ. I mean, that's a limited number of men in this world that can say that. So start with some respect there. And knocking out 39 victories. The distance in one, never losing. You woke up and you were great 40 times in a row. How many people can say that? And the guy is Windmill Wilder. Who the hell have you hit? How many gyms have you been in? And so I don't understand the disrespect from the couch potatoes. The he should throw more jabs, people who can't run a mile in under 9 minutes. I can't stand it. So, I mean, at least show respect for the global athlete that they are. And maybe you don't like them. I know you're not a fan, Rodney. I know you're not a fan of his style. And we're going to open up that one now. And that's where you're at least discussing and debating the fight stylistically and not saying I'm not watching it. And then why?
Right.
And why isn't he on those shows? Those are the more important questions of the lack of promotion for this fight. Is it because the way he looks? Is it because he's a black man that's supposed to fight? Is it because he has tattoos? Is it because maybe he scares people? What is it? I've met the man personally and told him I was proud. Thank you for being a world champion. And the guy acted like there was nobody around and was saying thank you.
Right.
So the man, personally to me, is a great guy. He's doing things for the right reasons. He's showing the world how to be a proper champion. And I don't know why the lack of support is not there. It's tell me why, and if anybody wants to, I think it'll just be swept under the rug.
Well, I mean, again, if you look at him, he's well spoken, good looking dude. He's a big guy. Tyson Fury's a big guy. We've always loved the big, huge heavyweights. Now, I'm not a fan of his style. I prefer better technical boxers. But again, you got the contrast in styles with him and Fury. This has every ingredient for the big heavyweight fight we all grew up watching, okay?
Yes.
You got two big dudes. You got the chance of either one guy outpointing another and actually boxing, or one dude just coming from the rafters, you know, with a left hook and just laying this other mountain of a man out, okay?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like we got two George Foremans in the ring right now. You know what I'm saying? Which we all love. And again, I go back to the reason is him, because again, he has been on some of these morning, some of like the ESPN, he's been on some of these shows. Okay. So get out, network, make some connections. There are people who he could probably reach out and say, hey, get me on this show. I just need 5 minutes. Okay. Let people hear you speak. Let people hear that you're well spoken. You do a little cameo on some of these shows. Okay. There, he's had opportunities to increase his brand. And again, kind of like you guys said, because he stuck with the people he started with, and maybe they're not business savvy enough to make the right connections, so we all understand that this is about connections. Okay, this is about you knowing some people. But he is literally the embodiment of the big heavyweight that the sports world has been asking for almost 20 years.
Right.
So here's let me throw this out. Let me throw a hypothetical question out. He knocks out Fury on the grand stage of pay-per-view. Are we still having the same discussion in the Joshua fight, or does that cement mega pay-per-view? Does that fill Wembley? Because if that, I mean, Joshua's not fighting anybody, and he's not looking great. He looks great as a bodybuilder. If they want to, you know, mock muscles over style, I'll take Wilder over what he's done. Klitschko basically threw that fight. He was out of it. He was done. And same with the Fury fight. He had his personal issues with his wife and postpartum depression. You know, I mispronounced that. Sorry, she had a baby and got depressed. You know, so he had to deal with that on top of training camp and then loses. So I can't not look at that, the personal life behind what he was going through there. And then, obviously, the Joshua fight was a cash out. He hasn't gotten back in the ring. So I don't know how much I can invest in that win to notarize his, you know, his record with only 28 victories. Excuse me, 27.
If Wilder, just you know, gives him one of those brutal knockouts, okay, that they just want to keep showing and showing and showing on all the sports shows, and he follows it up with a tour, you know, where he does what they call the car wash, where he goes on all the shows, Good Morning America, everything else. Then, yes, then I think he would have a legitimate groundswell of support and build up for the Joshua fight, because that's when he could start calling out Joshua and start talking about America and Great Britain.
Right.
You know, you don't want to fight the American, the great American heavyweight. But if this fight becomes a slog, and he wins, but it's just, he won, but it was a slog.
Right.
Then, no, I see no momentum to where, again, it's something where, you know, again, the casual fan is clamoring to see him, because that's the money they need to get. They need to get them casual fans who just want to see two dudes try to take each other's heads off.
Right. True that. I would agree. You know, I would totally agree with that. Wow, he just basically took my thunder, to be honest with you. You know what I'm saying? I mean, you already know Ryan and Chandler. I wasn't a fan of the dude. You know, I said some stuff about him. I'm not going to deny that. But
you have
I'm
every
actually,
right. That's great.
You know,
I'd love to it still develop, because he hasn't fallen off. I think it's been like a little over 2 years. Bomb squad.
Bomb squad, true that. I feel you. But like I said, I like to see, you know, like I said, when you say boxer, okay, and we're talking about professional boxers, not fighters now. I'm talking about this because you know the difference between fighters and boxers, right?
Yep.
Okay. I want to see more professional out of him. You understand that wild windmill style? Yes, it gets victories. I completely understand that. But I just think it's a little undisciplined. You understand what I'm saying? That's just my opinion only.
And that's what will leave him open, obviously, to be defeated and you know, for Fury to score points will be that overhand right and the counter left.
Right.
That'll be the statement of the fight and how Fury's feet react. But I want to see how he moves at this weight. He's looking light. And Wilder's been more active in with better competition. You know, I think Luis Ortiz is, you know, he might be 45 years old, and he's off his, you know, blood pressure meds at the time of the fight. And if anybody's been on those, man, that'll just throw your mood off without, you know, you trying to even fight. So, you know, I don't know what value to put on that, but what I like with that fight was he was tested. He was wobbled. He was hit. And,
yes,
you know, Fury has been down in his fight. He was down in the Steve Cunningham fight. I was actually at the Garden. You know, we've seen him, you know, not really tested against Klitschko. He was a depressed man in the ring. So I think they're equally tested. I think it's really, you know, it's either going to be a boring fight, an inside fight, that hopefully it's a lot's going to be on the referee. How much holding is going to be allowed? What's going to be established early in the fight? It's interesting that Fury has the ability to fight from the outside because of his feet. He's so light on his feet, but his size is still a mauling style, and you want to take away the distance of that from Wilder, but with his distance is where he leaves himself open. So it's gonna be patterns. It's gonna be a team Fury fight with watching just the patterns of Fury, the patterns of Wilder, what he does off the jab, where does he move when Fury jabs, and it's gonna be a real early boring feel out fight within the first three rounds. But watch somebody start to take a risk, 4, 5, and 6, or frustration will set in either side.
Okay. Listen, we're going to talk about a few other things, so we're going to wrap this segment up, if you don't mind, Ryan. Hopefully you can stay aboard. I mean, I would love to have you on. I know you like as a boxing savant, but I know you know some other stuff too.
No, I'm going to go out on top, as George Costanza does, as always. You got to go out on top, fellas.
Hold on.
Get a prediction?
That's what I was going to say.
What are we doing?
I was getting into that.
Okay.
You know what?
Close it out, boss.
Okay, you got it, my dude. And I want to thank you for being here.
Absolutely.
I'm going to pick Wilder because as entertaining as Tyson Fury is, I think that Tyson Fury is just he's over the top with his entertainment, and I think that kind of pisses off Wilder a lot. And he's gonna just release it tomorrow night. He's gonna and
or,
he, I think
or
he's
on Radio Raheem afterwards. I'd be
right,
running
exactly.
out that guy. He's out. He's not welcome
exactly.
anymore. He's
exactly.
off the team.
So I think Wilder takes it in like 7 by knockout.
Okay.
I think by the 7th.
I'm gonna
round.
Say
I'll 10. Go for that.
I'm gonna say 10. 10 for Wilder.
Knockout.
And I think it's gonna be a controversial stoppage. I think they're going to stop it, and you're going to be like, no, he could have kept fighting. That's what I think the follow-up will be.
Okay. All right. Well, okay.
Chandler?
I would like Wilder to win, but I think Fury turns it into a mud bath, and I think Fury wins.
Oh.
Wow. Okay. Okay.
What's
so we
the
got
point?
Two against
what
one.
What are the points? What are the points? How many rounds?
Well, that's the thing. I don't think anybody's going to agree that Fury won, but I think they're going to give the decision to Fury.
Wow. Okay. I can accept that. We'll see.
I respect it.
Yeah, we'll see.
Gentlemen,
we'll
have
see.
A great
exactly.
night.
Ryan, thank you for being on with us, man. I appreciate that. You know,
absolutely.
You want to say something, man. Always appreciate your knowledge in the sport of boxing, man. And what
hey,
you
thank
bring,
you for
so.
Giving me a platform to discuss boxing
no question.
With good people on a Friday night.
No question. There you go.
You guys have a great weekend. God bless New York City. And
well.
I will see you guys on the flip side.
For sure. Enjoy the fight, brother.
Absolutely.
All right. That was our brother Ryan Foley in the house. At this time, I got a call with the hands up. So just bear with me for a second. The last 4 digits is 9727. Welcome to In the Paint, sir. Please introduce yourself and where you're calling from.
This is Marshall. I just got one thing to say.
Okay.
How about them Cowboys?
I knew he was gonna go there. I knew it. It's funny.
I just couldn't help myself.
That's okay, because we're gonna segue into that right now. the Dallas Cowboys upsetting the New Orleans Saints. Final score is 13-10. Very low scoring game. I gotta tell you, I'm not a Cowboys fan, but I am impressed with one thing about this team, and that is their defense. I mean, what can I say? They put on a clinic last night. They really did, because if you can hold Drew Brees and the New Orleans Saints, a high powered scoring offense. You hold Drew Brees to 39 passing yards in the first half. That's saying something. They made a statement. Okay, I think DeMarcus Lawrence was like, we're going to punch them in the mouth. And in effect, they did, you know, defensively. This defense is fast. They approach whoever has the ball quickly. They're going to be a tough out. If they make the playoffs, with that defense playing the way it's been playing, they could be tough. They could say something. I'm not saying they're going to be Super Bowl winners or anything like that, but they can be tough. I don't know what you guys think about that. Marshall being a big Dallas fan, he's just like, okay, I'm good at this point. I got to get on the show and puff out my chest and tell the world how proud I am. Am I right?
Well, I mean, here's the thing. Again, and I think this is why a lot of you guys, yeah, you're not Cowboys fans, and I understand that. But you respect my opinion because I'm not one of these people that are going to go, oh, they're going to win the Super Bowl. Oh, they're going to do this.
Right.
My point is this. Their chances to make the playoffs have improved. And that's a fact because of things that have happened. The unfortunate Alex Smith breaking his leg. Certainly did not ask for that. I'm not a Redskins fan. But I didn't ask for that to happen, especially on the same day in 1985, where Lawrence Taylor broke Joe Theismann's leg, and we could see the last time that Alex Smith suits up in a football uniform because of that, because that's one of those injuries that, I mean, Theismann never played another down in pro football after that, and it's very likely that Smith may not either. Not saying he can't, but I would be very surprised to see that he would. That being said, however,
yes,
I think you got to score a few more points, but. And I was also not happy with DeMarcus Lawrence talking smack before the game. To say, what are you doing? You don't want to piss Drew Brees off and have them score 50 points like Madden and make you look like fools.
Mm-hmm.
That didn't happen, surprisingly. The pressure was there. I'm going to tell you this. Jalen Smith and Leighton Vander Esch have really risen that Cowboy defense up, especially Vander Esch, with his ability to do things to basically replace Sean Lee. I mean, and that's hard to say because Sean is, I mean, as great, good a player as he is, you can't stay healthy, and then you get a rookie, and then he comes in and makes plays. But not only that, Smith, who I believe sat out an entire year and couldn't play because I forget what injury that he had. They kept him out the whole year. And now, as a second-round pick, the Cowboys took a gamble on him because he couldn't play 1 year. He's kind of also blossomed into a great linebacker. I'm not saying Lawrence Taylor-like, but he's blossomed into a solid linebacker who can certainly cover as well. DeMarcus Lawrence is going to make some money. If Jerry Jones does not pay him, someone else will raise their hands and say, if he doesn't want to pay you, we will. We want you now. Dare I say, not Khalil Mack money, but very respectable on that. That being said, however, I mean, the Cowboys at right now stand, it would be the 4 seed if the playoffs started next week. Started today. So when you're in the 4 seed, right now you're staring at the Los Angeles Rams, just provided you win your wild card game. And we know how good the Rams have been. So, again, I would love to see them in another Super Bowl, but I have to be realistic.
Unless
things happen, that's probably not going to happen. Making the playoffs, now that Philly and Washington and, let's just face it, New York have had their problems, yes, a weak division, more than likely, unless they falter, they'll make the playoffs. But Super Bowl, I'm going to pump the brakes on that.
Okay. Chandler, give us some of your impressions on this Cowboy resurgence, so to speak.
Well, Marshall's right. The defense is playing ridiculously well. I would liken Jalen Smith to a Derrick Brooks light. You know, especially coming from where he came from, injuring his leg in a bowl game, going from being a first-round pick to a second-round pick and then not playing for an entire year. And then even last year, he was kind of a shell of himself. because he was trying to work his way back. The kid Vander Esch has been a revelation. I mean, I used to watch Boise State games, but even at Boise State, he didn't pop like this.
Right.
Okay, he was good at Boise State. He did not pop like this.
Okay.
So Rod Marinelli is doing his thing again with some guys that you don't expect him to do them with.
Uh-huh.
And they have embraced the formula of give Zeke the damn ball. Okay.
Hmm.
Now, Amari Cooper has helped a lot because you can't put eight in the box now. You actually have to cover Amari Cooper, and honestly, you got to double team him. And what that means is now Ezekiel Elliott can actually run the ball. And if they continue doing this, listen, give Zeke the ball on third down. You know you can get Amari Cooper. He's going to catch it because his route running is very precise. This is the kid that came out of Alabama. You know, this is the kid that, you know, Oakland screwed over, and you saw John Gruden just browbeat this kid into submission. But this is the kid that, you know, when he first came out, it was, oh, man, Amari Cooper's going, you know, is the truth. Yeah. So if they can continue doing this and nobody tries to get cute, nobody wants to try to reinvent the wheel, they're going to win the division because Philly, man, listen, Philly's done. And we said this before. We said this at the beginning of the year. They weren't going to have the same season because you never do. They had a magical season.
No.
The next year you don't have a magical season. You know, very rarely does that. Only the 86 Bear defense was better the next season than they were in 85, and they didn't get. And they did they win Super Bowl 86? No, they did not.
No.
So,
yeah, they got beat by Washington. Yeah.
Exactly. You know what I'm saying? So we knew Philly would take a step back. We knew the Giants were going to suck.
Right.
The Redskins, without Alex Smith, the Redskins ain't going nowhere. Not with Chase. Who the hell they got? Colt McCoy, please.
Colt McCoy. Yeah.
And Mark Sanchez.
Come on.
Yeah, the butt fumble himself.
Exactly. It's the butt fumble. Exactly.
Yeah. And you know, I don't want them to go in there with everything they're doing. And then add in the fact that because you got Colt McCoy now you can put basically 15 in the box and dare Adrian Peterson to try to you know, run for anything. So
basically.
Dallas should win their division if they can continue doing this and Dak doesn't revert to that guy who tries to win the game by throwing them to a win. Because that's not how they're going to win.
No, they're not. You know what I'm saying? That team, they right now they're playing well. You know what I'm saying? And I'm specifically talking about defensively. They do make a lot of mistakes, though. You know, they're not perfect. They do make a hell of a lot of mistakes. They leave you scratching your head like, yo, what are you doing? You know what I'm saying? With some of these errors and your mental errors. You know, but however, you know, this defense can lead them. They can be a tough out. You know what I'm saying? Again, and I'm not saying they're going to be Super Bowl champions, but I'm saying they will give you tough games. You understand? Once they make the playoffs. I truly believe that because I never realized. Again, you know, you guys know I don't watch the games. I do some reading up on stuff. Their defense has been playing well. They've had, matter of fact, I would say that this defense has pretty much grown together. You understand what I'm saying? I'm checking some stats real quick over here. I see that, man, let me take a look at this. They finished eighth, right, in yards allowed per game in 2017. They had the number one ranked run defense in 2016. They were fifth against the pass in 2015. And in 2014, they forced 31 takeaways. You understand? So they got a pretty good defense for a few years now. You know what I'm saying? And it's looking even better this year. So I think they're going to be
certainly
a problem, you know?
Certainly, Chris Richard coming over from Seattle has been a real blessing because he's improved that secondary. Because without him, this doesn't happen. I mean, granted, Marinelli's still got his smarts, but Mr. Chris Richard's going to be a head coach, I think, in the league one day. He should be, because he's just that good. And I think Seattle was – they let him go. And, I mean, you see where they are. It's like middle of the pack. I mean, they did beat Carolina, but Carolina's done too, because let's just face it, the Saints are going to win the division even with this loss, unless they collapse. And I don't see that happening. They're winning this division, no problem.
Definitely. Let's do a little moving on. I got some breaking news. Oh, boy. Here's another ugly event happening in the NFL. Kareem Hunt, Kansas City running back. Wow. There's a video of him brutalizing a woman. This happened, I think, back in March, if I'm not mistaken. You know? And
February.
Oh, thank you, February. Thank you, brother. That was March, pardon me. Oh, 5 months. In February, this happened. Now, the first thing I want to say is, did they knew about this? Didn't they know about this from February to now?
Yes, they did.
I'm talking about the Chiefs. They knew about this.
Yes.
And the league certainly had to know.
Exactly. Yep. I want to know what's up with that, first and foremost, to be honestly. You know, and not that I'm just saying that, you know, I'm not just, you know, totally disrespecting, you know, the woman. Don't get me wrong. Of course, that's horrible as well. But I just find this disturbing that February this happened, and now we're just learning of this. You know what I'm saying? It's like almost a full year has gone by with this. I just find that just amazing. You know?
Funny how that works, ain't it?
Very. You know? And again, this, once again, galvanizes why I'm not a watcher of this sport. I just can't do it. I can't do it. It's disgusting. You know? The league knew about it. The team knew about it. But yet, they will always want to try to cover shit up. You understand? But it got leaked.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody got paid to leak that shit.
Yeah.
Make no mistake, somebody got paid because that was not going to be revealed probably at all. Do you understand?
No. And the disingenuous statement that the Chiefs put out, mm-hmm. well, because they released Kareem Hunt tonight.
Yeah, right. I see.
And they said, well, it's because he lied to us. First of all, you know damn well you saw that videotape.
Exactly.
Okay?
Exactly.
Now, she may have called him whatever she called him,
mm-hmm.
okay?
Mm-hmm.
He had no right putting his hands on her.
Right.
None. The fact that there's no police involvement, mm-hmm. okay, says that on some level authorities felt it was a no harm, no foul situation,
mm-hmm.
And which is troubling on many levels, okay?
For sure.
Because in a vacuum, if you call me a name and you hit me, I have the right to put my fucking hands on you, okay,
right.
in a vacuum.
Right.
Right.
Right. You call me a nigga and you slap me, I'm whooping your ass, all
right?
Right. That's in a vacuum. If
right.
it's a woman, I'm walking away from you, okay?
Right. There you go.
And I might go get some other woman to whoop your ass, but I'm not going to.
Basically. But it's not going to be you putting your hands on. Right.
Right. So he deserves everything that's coming for him, but we all know he's going to get a job in the league again. Let's make that clear right now. He's going to have
know.
A job in the league.
You already know.
Mm-hmm. You're right.
You already know.
And the justification is going to be, well, the police didn't feel there was anything to it. It was instigated. Right. Yes, he shouldn't have reacted that way. We'll send him to counseling. Bibbidi-bobbidi-boo. Okay.
Right.
What is I guess, obscene and I lost the word, but just what pisses me off is all of these shocked people. Shocked, I say. I'm shocked and appalled. You know, suddenly the league is shocked. Oh, my God, I'm shocked.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
I'm in a bar and people are drinking. I'm shocked. You know?
Right.
And then, you know, I was telling Mark about this offline. I was tweeting back and forth with somebody, and he says, well, the team knew, but the league didn't. How stupid are you, man? The NFL is a billion-dollar corporation that
right.
has former federal agents and prosecutors on their payroll. They have
right.
connections to law enforcement across the country, okay? And they have three major networks acting as a de facto PR firm. You're going to tell me that
right.
they didn't get a hold of this damn tape? They
exactly.
didn't see it? What they were hoping was it would never come out. Now
right.
that it has come out, you're going to hear all sorts of, we didn't know. Bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
Now, people are going to bring up
right.
Ray Rice. Here's the difference between Kareem Hunt and Ray Rice. Ray Rice was at the end of his career. Kareem Hunt is, I believe, what, 24, 25 at the most?
Mm-hmm.
He is an electric running back.
Actually, he's 23.
So,
yeah.
23? Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. By mm-hmm. next season, he'll be on somebody's roster. He'll serve
believe
a four-game suspension, and
yep.
they'll keep it moving.
Yep. Agreed. Agreed. Ridiculous, bro. Marshall, you got anything to add to this?
Yeah, I do, because Chandler is on target with what, everything he said.
Mm-hmm.
And to add to that point, they did know, because I'm going to bring up Josh Brown for the Giants.
Mm.
All they had to do, I mean, and here's the other thing, because his at the Pro Bowl, his wife had to get separate accommodations because they knew that he beat the shit out of her.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And they didn't have to do anything special like Chandler says, where they had connections to law enforcement. Hell, they didn't even have to do that in his case, because all they had to do was, you know, they got office, I'm sure, in Seattle or somebody they knew to say, hey, because I think it was whatever county Seattle's in where his divorce proceedings were, that just have somebody go, you know, public record, go look up the damn court records and find out this shit.
Basically.
And then, like Chandler said, they were just hoping shit that they could just sweep it under the damn rug. And now this is what happened, too. The Chiefs released him after the fact that the video was released. This is my question as far as that is concerned. Why has Reuben Cooper got signed by the Redskins? And then I think, is that Foster, Reuben Foster, I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Who got signed by the Redskins, who got released by the 49ers.
Mm-hmm.
And his legal troubles with the same shit. So, yeah, I mean, they knew about this bullshit, but they just, again, as long as you're making money, sweep shit under the rug.
Of course. Of course. You know, it's just ridiculous. I'm just like I said, I'm just so done with that sport. It's not even funny, you know. And again, the most disgusting thing is this guy will be playing for some other team very soon. You understand? And again, like my man Chandler said, you know, you want to talk about all these charities and all these worthwhile causes, and you know, you're out there wearing pink and all that stuff. Chandler, you said it best. The NFL does not care or like women, period.
Nope.
You understand? They do not like women at all, because for all these heinous crimes that are being done to women, and yet you're fucking awarding these bastards that are doing these crimes, domestic, rape, whatever. You understand what I'm saying? You're constantly rewarding these dudes. You barely punish them, and yet they're still getting paid. You understand? Reuben Foster is getting paid. He's not playing. He's not suiting up. But he's getting paid regardless. If that doesn't say something to women and people in general about what they think about women, if you don't get an impression from that, I don't know what to fucking tell you. Because it's right there in front of your face.
But you know what? You got women defending this situation. You got women to my dude. I'm telling you, you got women since. Oh, here we go again. Everybody overreacting when they don't have. And I'm like,
wow.
You know what? You know what? The same outraged people, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That are pitchforks and torches today, right? Let him come play for their team,
right?
Well,
yep.
You got to understand that it was, you know, and come on,
Jesus.
Man. Three quarters
exactly.
of these same people that are doing all this fucking outrage don't give a shit either. Because if they did, you know what they'd stop doing? They'd stop consuming the product.
Right. Right.
You know, all these female Redskins fans that's talking all this shit. You're going to be at the stadium on Sunday wearing that pink fucking Redskins jersey talking about I'm part of the Hogettes. So miss me with your bullshit.
Exactly. Well said. Yep. I totally agree with that statement. Totally agree. It's disgusting. You understand? It's absolutely disgusting. Mm-hmm. Let's do a little moving on to the next topic in the NFL. I had to talk about this. I wanted to talk about this Monday, but Max 611 was not with us tonight. He had to work late, so I was like, okay, well, we're not gonna do anything till Friday, fine. But I want to talk about this Monday, this past Monday, and I'm gonna talk about it now. Is the New York Giants? They had a devastating loss to the Eagles. I think the score was 25-23.
25-22.
Yep. 25-22. Excuse me. Okay.
I watched the end of the game on my tablet.
Okay. Oh, okay. Now they lost to the Eagles. I want to know, does this have a? Now we know they had a bad year, but they won two in a row. They was feeling pretty decent going into this game, which I felt was a gimme and they should have won this game, but I kind of figured that they would lose. up 19-3 and wind up losing. Do you think this devastating loss has a carryover effect on them for the rest of the season?
They just forgot they had Saquon Barkley because the announcers at the end of the game were going off about it because, they gave him the ball in the first half, and it's like in the second half, he only touches it four times.
Mm-hmm.
And you're up 16 points, and you give up that much of a lead? To your division rival, granted, I know that your chances to make the playoffs were slim, but you still theoretically had a chance.
Right.
And you're just goofing around like this?
Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
It made no sense.
Yeah.
Four times total. I'm sorry, go ahead, Chandler.
No, you're right. Go ahead. No, I think their season is done, but I think they win the Chicago game simply because the Bears are starting Chase Daniel.
Okay.
I don't know about all that.
The Bears,
as long as he doesn't
Chase
turn
Daniel.
The ball over and let because the Bears have a great defense, as long as he just manages the ship and he knows the Matt Nagy offense, as long as he just, does what he needs to do, don't make mistakes and let Khalil Mack and company take care of business, I think the Bears win.
Only reason they won the last game that he started was because of a stupid pick that was thrown to them by Matt Stafford. If Matthew Stafford just manages that damn game, Detroit wins that game. Okay?
Right.
So
okay.
Chase Daniel's going to be Chase Daniel. He's going to make those mistakes. There's going to be a lot. Whoever watches that game is going to see one of the uglier damn games that you could possibly watch. There's going to be some ugly offense in that game. It's going to be three and out, field goal, three and out, field goal.
Okay.
But
right.
I think the Giants season as a whole is done, and I think you're going to start hearing the anonymous player. The anonymous player is going to pop up now. Talking about Kyle Shermer.
Okay.
The anonymous player is going to pop up now.
Right.
Talking about Dave Gettleman.
Right.
The anonymous player is going to pop up now. Because that mythical anonymous player? That person is about to make his appearance.
Yeah. Yeah. You know what? I have to blame Shermer and the offensive coordinator for this one. To not utilize this guy, Barkley, in the second half is just inexcusable. It's disgusting. It's inexcusable. And you're up 19-3. I think the problem with what they was trying to do is they thought too much. They outthought themselves. You understand? They try to just like play it safe, and it shot themselves in the foot, and they wound up losing that game.
Because there was literally nothing else on. There was literally nothing else on, so I kind of watched the second half of that. The Philly secondary is trash, okay?
Yeah, exactly.
But they didn't attack the secondary.
Mm-hmm.
They also didn't give it to Barkley. So he was throwing the balls to guys he had no business throwing to. When he tried to throw Odell Beckham, he was triple covered. On the penultimate play of the game, when the Giants were driving for a touchdown and wound up not getting it, on that interception that Manning threw, Saquon Barkley was wide open. He's wide open, and Manning wouldn't throw it to him. So the offensive play caller and the coach bear 75% of the blame. Eli Manning's been in the league 15 years.
Yeah.
You don't know how to audible out of a pass to a run.
Right, that's embarrassing.
You don't know how to audible into a check down to Barkley? At some point, the veteran quarterback is supposed to be able to say, you know what, in right now we need a first down. We need a play I know will work. Saquon, here you go.
Right.
Where was Eli Manning in all of this? Eli Manning keeps getting a pass. He keeps getting a pass. He is the reason. He is a large part of the reason that team has only got three wins. But he keeps getting a pass.
Right. Well, I can't deny that. That's true.
I got a question.
Sure.
So who's worse as far as offensive play caller? Is it McAdoo-Doo or this guy, Shermer?
Ooh, that's a good question.
I don't think either one of them are bad play callers. I think the problem is they're running a system that doesn't fit the quarterback that they have.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Fair statement.
Ben McAdoo's system was about rolling the pocket here, short passes, swing passes, all the things that Eli Manning isn't good at. What's Pat Shermer's system about? How well did Minnesota do with Case Keenum?
Right.
Really well, right? Why? Because Case Keenum is a guy who you can do what with? Move the pocket. Duke all kinds of little things. That what? Eli Manning is a statue. Okay.
Right.
That offensive line is not great. So if you really want to protect your quarterback, you need to do things like roll your pocket, roll your quarterback out left, roll him out right, bootleg him out the back door, things like that.
Right, right.
That doesn't fit the quarterback that they have.
Mm-hmm.
So the offensive play calling looks like shit because you're trying to force a square peg into a round hole.
Mm-hmm. Right, right, true.
Well, next question I had, next question I had now that I think that, and I think I agree with Chandler that their season is done now. I mean, who's their backup quarterback? I know the New York media probably will not stand for this because they're thinking, oh, Eli does this. But I'm thinking, if your season is done, why not play the backup guy? I know he's probably going to get killed, but at least try to find out what you have.
Because he was the guy who tried to run over a cop.
The cop, right.
Oh, shit.
I didn't know about that.
Yeah.
So the only time he's seeing the field is if Eli Manning gets his leg broke or some shit.
No, actually, Shermer said some guy who's 31 years old and has thrown five passes would be on the field before him.
Really?
Did he say that?
Yeah, yeah. Look at some of the interviews. They were talking about, I think it was in the Post, where they were talking about why Eli Manning won't be benched because Lauletta is not – they don't – basically, Shermer and management have made it known that they don't believe in Lauletta. Shermer even said, well, what makes you think it won't be – I think the guy's name is Tanny. What makes you think it won't be Tanny? So, Eli Manning's playing this whole damn season.
Wow. I didn't even realize that, dude. That's crazy, man. Well. Yeah, well, Lauletta has nobody blaming but himself for that one. So, whatever.
Yeah.
You got nobody blaming but himself. You know what I'm saying?
Marshall, I'm a New York Giants quarterback. I ain't got to listen to you.
Yeah,
exactly.
Marshall, I just know you had the last two questions. Do you have any other more questions you want to bring up before I move on?
I think it's probably safe to move on. I mean, we kind of discussed the Giant woes and their shortcomings. I hope you guys draft Saquon's quarterback at Penn State. What's his guy? Is it McSorley, I think?
Yeah,
his name?
McSorley, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
And draft him because you probably – and get some an offensive line that's halfway decent –
you got to get
them. Then you may have something, but the line's got to get fixed. That's
right. I totally agree with that. They got to fix that line. Definitely. You know, so let's just hope they can solve those two issues right there with the draft. I'm gonna ride in the lane of the NBA for a minute because this is my the last topic I think I have for tonight. This is in regards to the Knicks. I've been seeing some stuff. I've been seeing some stuff now. allegedly, a lot of NBA execs are kind of down on Kevin Knox, and they're not liking what they're seeing from Frank Ntilikina. I can't pronounce this guy's name. I hate that. It's Ntilikina something.
Ntilikina.
Whatever.
Ntilikina. Ntilikina.
What's it again? Ntilikina.
Ntilikina. Yeah.
Ntilikina. Okay.
Yep.
Frank Ntilikina. Okay. I'm reading different articles, and guys are not really sold on the last two number one draft picks for the Knicks. What they're saying in regard to Ntilikina is, you know, he's not too much offensively, obviously. Some of them don't even think he's that great of a defender, believe it or not, and he's not suited to play the point guard position. In regards to Kevin Knox, the knock on him is he doesn't seem to want to pass the ball. He looks for his own shot, and he seems to want to fire up a bunch of threes, and also talking about his immaturity. Now, I got to tell you, I'm not really completely sold on either myself, but the one thing I do want to add is they're young. I mean, seriously, if you were expecting anything from these two young men, you know, at the time that they were drafted, even a year into it, into their career, stop. I mean, I get the fact that they're execs and they know what they're looking at and they see stuff and whatnot, but Jesus, 1 year for Frank, you know, and a rookie season, which is not even complete for Kevin Knox, and you're already putting this out there?
Yeah.
I mean, I just found it just a little crazy. Well, go ahead, Chandler. What do you got to say about that?
It's 30. We're close to 30 games into the season, right? So
right.
It's time for the annual Mark Berman article saying that every person the Knicks drafted is trash.
Right.
It's time for the annual we need to trade everybody for whatever name is out there.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Now, in regards to Frank,
mm-hmm.
his offensive game needs work. Okay.
Right.
I've watched the Knicks games when I was still able to.
Okay.
Frank is a damn good defender.
Okay.
For the way the rules are now, okay,
mm-hmm.
he's Stacey damn Augman.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Because he
right.
can guard 1 through 4.
Mm.
Because most fours now play on the perimeter. Frank can guard 1 through 4. All right.
Mm.
I've watched. You're not going to back him down. His motor, his light comes on defense where you see this aggressive,
yes.
tough dude that you don't see on offense. And I'm okay
right.
with that.
Okay,
because there's
okay.
there is a place in the league for a defensive-minded point guard.
Okay?
Okay. Kevin Knox is the same guy he was at Kentucky.
Right.
Okay, tell me something I don't know. This is the – I mean, did you expect him to suddenly change his 20 games in? Now, I told you
right.
guys when they drafted him, I didn't like the pick because he
mm-hmm.
has a habit of disappearing, and I didn't
mm-hmm.
think – that he was a guy you could count on to be a primary player for you.
Right.
Which, again, it's 20 games. Oh, and
right.
by the way, he's playing for a coach whose rotational decisions
mm-hmm.
are curious at best and ridiculous at worst.
Wow.
You know, Damian Dotson started the season, and
mm-hmm.
you could see the progression in his game. He's
yes.
he's a
yes.
two-way player. And suddenly he got buried.
Right.
For Mario Hezonja. For
right.
Mario Hezonja, okay, who's
mm-hmm.
supposed to be your three-point shooter, but he refuses to shoot, okay, and he's a terrible defender.
Right.
You have Trey Burke, who is guaranteed offense, who David Fizdale buried.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now he's playing, but now you've buried
right.
Dotson.
Right.
You know, Kevin Knox is starting. No, he's not starting. Kevin Knox is
mm-hmm.
starting. No, he's coming off the bench. He's going to get big
right.
minutes. No, you can't get no
right.
minutes.
Right.
he's playing for a coach who's yo-yoing the hell out of him.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So exactly where's the progression supposed to come from? Oh, and by the way,
mm-hmm.
who's the small forward, the veteran small forward on his team to help him grow his game?
Right.
I'll
right.
wait because
there isn't one.
There isn't one.
Right.
So if there are mm-hmm. holes in his game, if he is not engaged all the time, who's the veteran mm-hmm. player on that team that can pull him aside who he respects and he's going to listen to and say,
right.
yo, man, you know, get your shit together. Oh, that's right.
Right.
There isn't one. Who's the
exactly.
veteran big man with championship experience or, you know, playing for championships or playing in deep
mm-hmm.
in the playoffs
mm-hmm.
to kind of get on these guys? Oh, that's right. You waived him. His name is Joakim Noah. He's about to go be playing in Memphis.
Right.
So
yep.
if there's no progression in these players,
mm-hmm.
again, we got to look at the team and the development.
Mm-hmm.
Now, everybody keeps saying, but Emmanuel Mudiay is blossoming. Emmanuel Mudiay had a good 7-8 game stretch.
Right.
Okay. How's mm-hmm. he been the past 4 games? Terrible again.
Mm-hmm.
So, what, now, because, see, during that 7-game stretch, David Fizdale is the greatest coach in the world. Now that
right.
Mudiay has gone back to being Emmanuel Mudiay, crickets.
Right.
No, anybody got nothing to say.
Exactly. Nope.
So,
nope.
I'm, you know, Chuck D tweeted something earlier today, and,
mm-hmm.
And he said it perfectly. He said that, Where is it? Damn it. Hold on.
Okay, no problem. No problem.
Because Mark responded to it. Oh, here it is. He said, Frank is going to end up being Jamal Crawford, and Knox
yep.
is going to end up being Trevor Ariza.
Right.
Because we have no patience. Okay?
No.
Because if you think about it, what they say about Jamal Crawford? He's not engaged, and all he does is look for his own shot. What they say about Trevor Ariza? He ain't never going to be no shooter. All he does is play defense.
Right.
Funny how that worked out.
Yep. Huh? Yep. Exactly.
Okay. Remember David Lee?
Oh, my God.
All he does is get a double-double. Okay. We don't need that. Okay. Remember Wilson Chandler? All he does is play defense and shoot. We don't need that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yep.
But these same people, by the way, what they're talking about now, they tell you Frank is trash, but they're talking about trade him to the Suns for Josh Jackson.
Right.
Well, if he's trash, why would the Suns give you Josh Jackson?
Right, exactly.
It's
fanatical.
Sounds like to me,
mm-hmm.
sounds like to me with Coach Tisdale is the equivalent of the mad scientist you see in the bad horror movies that's experimenting with shit. Trying to see
mm-hmm.
what works and what don't.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, his own creation comes up to kill him or something or hurt him or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, well, that
mm-hmm.
didn't work out. I'll try something else.
Right.
I mean,
it's just
like Chandler was saying. No
mm-hmm.
patience.
Exactly.
No consistency.
Yeah, exactly. I got to tell you, I don't trust the guy. I've said on the show before that I don't completely trust him. I think he's a pimp, and he's just putting out there what the fanatics want to hear, and they're buying it lock, stock, and barrel. I just never trusted this guy. And you know, as you were saying earlier, Chandler, dude, this guy, you know, with his patterns, you understand? And there's going to be no type of consistency whatsoever. You understand what I'm saying? I like Dotson. Why aren't you? Here's the thing. You actually have some good product on this team. I'm not going to lie to you.
Mm-hmm.
You understand? You have good product on this team, but you're mixing. You're just not getting the right rotation. And it's right there in your face. That's
right.
What kills me.
Yep.
You understand what I'm saying? That's the thing that kills me, because you got actually good talent on this team, in which they can be very competitive and win more games. But, again, it's this guy, man. It's this dude.
Mm-hmm. It's also the front office, though, because, again, Mario Hezonja is playing because
mm-hmm.
Scott Perry drafting him in Orlando and signed him here.
Right.
Okay? Don't ever forget that. Emmanuel Mudiay is playing because Steve Mills wanted Emmanuel Mudiay in that draft. Remember?
Right.
He wanted Emmanuel Mudiay.
Yes, I do remember that.
I think the Knicks took somebody else in that draft.
Right.
So those two guys are playing because of political reasons.
Right.
You know, like I said, Trey Burke is getting buried. Why? Trey Burke's on a two-way contract. You know, here's what the Knicks organization knows. The fans right now are energized. The fans will accept anything they give them. Okay?
Yep.
So they don't have to win because the Knicks have enough talent to win. Noah Vonleh's been a revelation.
Right.
A revelation. Noah Vonleh has been what Kylo Quinn was supposed to be.
Right. Yeah.
Right? Mitchell Robinson, granted, he's kind of hit a little bit of a rookie wall, but Mitchell Robinson should still be starting over Enes Kanter.
For sure.
Okay? And that's not a knock against Enes Kanter, but Enes Kanter is empty calories. I don't want to hear about a guy getting 21 and 16 and the team still loses by 15.
Right.
Okay? I don't care. Again, I don't trust any coach. I don't trust any coach that doesn't want veteran leadership on his team. David Fizdale made a concerted effort to get rid of Joakim Noah. They buried Courtney Lee, and you know I can't stand Courtney Lee, but Courtney Lee has been marginalized when, again, veteran leadership. David Fizdale has made this all about David Fizdale.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
You can't build a winning locker room without winning players, which means you need a couple of veterans in there. There are none. Don't trust
and
the coach that don't want veterans.
Mm-hmm. And you said this many times, brother. You have said this many times on this show. And I totally co-sign it because I do not trust dude for anything. I just don't. I don't believe in him. I don't believe in his process. I just don't believe at all. I don't. Do you understand? Because, again, I go back and say the same thing. You got talent on this team. And it's not hard for you to try to put out consistency in the fact of in the matter of your rotation. It should be simple. Put the same fucking guys out there. Unless they're injured. You know what I'm saying? Put the same damn talent out there. The right talent. Why do you keep shuffling? You know what I'm saying? It makes no damn sense. What are you doing?
Yep.
You understand? And these fans just don't get it. I'm like, let me tell you something. This is why I get tired of interacting with these folks on Twitter. I just look at the tweet, and I just roll my eyes, man. I look at it for a second, and I roll my eyes. My eyes up in the heavens. I'm like, what are you doing? What are you thinking? What are you writing? What are you saying? You know, and it pisses me off. It pisses me off so much, I don't even want to interact. I'm like, okay, let me move on. Let me move the fuck on. You know?
Yep.
Because we see so much of that BS from these fans. I can't say fans. Fanatics. It's ridiculous. It's straight ridiculous.
It's almost a microwave mentality with what you and Chandler have described on Twitter, where they say that they want this, they want that. It's like they can just put the team in a microwave, you know, put it on for 2 minutes, and they'll have a championship contender. It doesn't work like that.
Yeah, no way. It's embarrassing, man. I'm just like, yo. I said, I can't deal with these folks. I refuse to. I'm like, no, because I'll be driven crazy.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You know.
I've stopped interacting with a lot of them because the level of just ridiculousness. And these are people that for the past couple of years I've been interacting with on Twitter, and it's like they've suddenly lost their fucking minds.
Basically. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Because they will have you, if you're on your phone, you will want to throw your phone against the wall. If you're in front of a computer screen, you're going to want to hit the screen and crack it and break it. That's, I'm telling you, this the utter foolishness of these fanatics is ridiculous, man. I'm like, get the fuck out of here.
Yeah.
You know? Like I said, I just can't interact with them because it just it's just a trial of futility, man. It's just ridiculous, man. You're gonna end up losing anyway because you can't win with these
people. Yeah.
Because they know everything.
Yep.
They will argue you down until you are bone tired. You're like, okay, I give up. You know, I'll let you go about your own foolishness now. I can't keep going, you know, through hoops with you. I'm not going to do it. You know what I'm saying? You just lose. So don't even bother. But, yeah, I don't trust this guy. I don't trust the coach at all. I'm not a believer. I'm not a believer. I'm not. See, I should have known this. This is another okie doke move done by the Knicks. Man, it's another okie doke. You know what I'm saying? Another formula, just in another shape. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That's all it is. That's all it is with them.
Hey, are you got time to talk about the Mets?
Oh, okay. We can do that real quick. Yeah, for sure. Yeah, for sure. We can do that. You know what? Go ahead, Chandler. I'm going to let you rock with it. I'm going to let you bring it out. I have my reason.
Oh,
I'm
my
bring
God.
It down, brother. I know.
It's Mets. Know. Mets being Mets.
God, Jesus.
Mm-hmm. Short-sighted.
Yes. Yes, sir.
Now, Seattle wants to get rid of Robinson Cano, right?
Mm-hmm.
They told everybody, we want to get rid of Robinson Cano. We need to get rid of Robinson Cano. Please take Robinson Cano.
Hmm.
Right?
Right.
Robinson Cano probably said, I'm only going back to New York.
Right.
So Seattle literally has no leverage.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
none.
To get someone to take Robinson Cano, they said, we'll give you Edwin Diaz.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, Edwin Diaz is a stud reliever. He's young. He's
right.
on the team control
right.
for the next 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
But as volatile as relievers are, okay, you
mm-hmm.
buy low on relievers and you sell high.
Right.
All
right?
So
right.
even though he had 57 saves last year, if you look
right.
historically
mm-hmm.
at relievers that have had over 50 saves,
mm-hmm.
the next season, they're nowhere near as good, and
mm-hmm.
their careers are dramatically shortened. He had 57. Remember Eric Gagne?
Right. Yes.
Remember he had 60-some-odd saves?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and then remember he fell off the face of the earth? So
mm-hmm.
that's the backdrop here. Now, I'm Seattle. I'm Seattle. This is what I'm looking at. So I call the Mets and I say, okay, you take Cano and I'll give you Edwin Diaz. Now, again, in this market, Edwin Diaz, as a young reliever under team control for 4 years, 57 saves, here's what he should bring you back. Three prospects and two major league players. It's five players by himself.
Right.
If you take Robinson Cano, then I shouldn't get anything back, maybe a B, maybe a C-level prospect, depending on how much money I'm going to eat. The more money I have to eat, the better prospector you have to give me, right? That's notice I said singular, prospect.
Exactly, prospect, exactly.
All right? The Mets are trading three of their best prospects, plus Jay Bruce, plus a relief pitcher, I believe it's Anthony Swarzak. Robinson Cano and Edwin Diaz.
Right.
So basically,
right.
Seattle is getting the five players they would have gotten for Edwin Diaz if they traded him by himself, and are also getting out from under Robinson Cano's contract. I don't care how much money they ate, okay? This is a bad trade for the Mets because your farm system was already bereft of talent.
Yep.
You had them over a barrel. You can say, I don't care how much money you've given me. You can have Jay Bruce, you can have this relief pitcher, and I'll give you this C-level prospect. Take it or leave it, bud.
Right, right, and that's it.
Cano's only going to approve a trade to me, so take it or leave it. Instead, the Mets said, well, how many prospects do you want? Seattle said, well, can we have your top prospect?
Right.
Okay, what else you want? Can we have your second best prospect? Okay, what else you want? Can we have another prospect? Yeah, is that all you want? Can we have a major league ready player? Oh, who you want? Jay Bruce. We'll take Jay Bruce.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
mm-hmm.
is that it? Can we have a relief pitcher?
Well, pick one.
But yeah.
Right. Right.
Wow.
It's so short-sighted, man. It's so short. Because in 3 years, when Seattle is starting to trend upward again, the Mets will still be looking to replace the three players that they just gave up. And, okay, now you're stuck with Robinson Cano, who has, by the way, who really is a first baseman. He's not a second baseman.
No.
Right?
Right.
And you're still going to be paying him $14, $15 million a year.
Yeah.
It doesn't make sense.
No. Dumb. Dumb. They don't get it.
It sounds like to me, I mean, when Chandler was mentioning all that off, it sounds like Seattle was like a Jedi, and there was like a Jedi mind trick. Okay, what else can we have? Okay, you want this? Certainly. And it was just like, why give away half the damn farm? I mean, Robin's going to know. I mean, Chandler has his best years behind him. I mean,
He's 36. He's never going to be the Robbie in New York. Now, he's probably still, because he's like Tony Quinn. He can hit 300 in his sleep, okay?
Right.
But defensively, he's not a second. He's not a great second baseman anymore. He's probably average at best. His best position is probably first base. So for the money he's going to be making, no, he's not good.
Yeah, because you don't need somebody just to hit 300. You also need somebody to get outs, because when you're trying to close out a game and you give a team extra outs like the Mets consistently do, I'm certain, because that's probably why they finished in last. No, I'm sorry. Were the Marlins worse or the Mets?
It was the Mets.
Yeah.
Okay, okay. The Marlins at least got to the next to last position. So, okay, we weren't last, so we didn't totally suck.
Right.
But, yeah, it's just like the whole short-sighted thing. I mean, Chandler, what are they trying to do in New York? I mean, are they trying to win, or are they just trying to give the damn team away?
They're trying to shortcut a rebuild. They're trying to shortcut a rebuild, because they're also going to trade Noah Syndergaard, by the way.
Yeah. Yep.
They're going to trade him for JT Realmuto, which, again, doesn't make sense, and I'm going to tell you why. Because if you hadn't given away all your prospects to Seattle, you could have traded one of those prospects to the Indians for Yan Gomes, who the Indians just traded to the Nationals.
Wow.
You see what I'm saying?
About.
So you could have kept your second best pitcher, or if you want to move him, you wouldn't have had to move him for a catcher, because you could have used, say, one of those prospects that you didn't give up in the Cano trade to get him.
Right.
Then you could move Syndergaard for a package like the Mariners just got from you, Edwin Diaz.
Dummy.
Okay.
Dummy.
And you do two things. You replenish your farm system, and you get major league ready talent, because Noah Syndergaard should bring you back five players. Noah Syndergaard should bring you back five players. The Mets, I guarantee you, they won't get but two players for Noah Syndergaard. They're trying to shortcut a rebuild, and it's ridiculous.
Bro, if they do that, if they only get two players for Syndergaard, you know I'm done. You know I got to attack their ass. You already know. I'm gonna be on.
I hate to say this, but Richard Bush is gonna think that might be the best trade since sliced bread. But I'm gonna be honest. It's like you can't just give away the farm and then get next to nothing for Syndergaard when he.
Come on.
I mean, he could be on somebody's playoff roster easily.
What? Let me tell you something, man. This organization here's another thing. I'll throw this out there. They love clamoring for the back page. They love it. Do you hear what I'm saying? They love it. They love it. This is great. We'll make some news or whatnot for the Daily News and the New York Post and blah, 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 blah. They love this shit because their jealousy of the New York Yankees. Do you understand what I'm saying? They are clamoring for that attention.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and they make these moves haphazardly, you understand, without really thinking about it, because the trade that they just made makes no sense whatsoever. And if they bring back only two players, even three for Noah Syndergaard, I might go out to Citi Field and punch one of these executives in the face. Hopefully it's the GM. I'm serious. I'm not even joking. I'm going to go
out,
and I'm going to punch him in the face because that makes no sense.
Here's the thing, though, R. If you get JT Realmuto, and I'm the Mariners,
okay.
I'm giving you one other player. I'm not giving you at the most. Here's what I'm gonna give you. I'm gonna give you JT Realmuto. I'm gonna give you a B level prospect, and maybe a C. That's all you're getting because you're getting an All Star catcher in his prime. Yes, because Realmuto, again, Realmuto was an All Star catcher. He was a Gold Glove winner. He's considered the best catcher in baseball, and he's under team control for two more years. So now, again, if I'm the Marlins, I'm saying to the Mets, yeah, I know you're giving me a good pitcher, but I'm giving you an all-star catcher, which is a premium position. So you can have him and you can have this guy, and that's pretty much it. And as short-sighted as the Mets are, I would just about bet my life on the fact that the Mets don't get the Marlins' top prospect. They don't get their second best prospect. They get JT Realmuto and a B level prospect, and I'm talking a low B and a low C level prospect. Yeah. Mm.
My God.
Bro,
I can't. Oh my Lord. I don't know what it is, man. This team, they just don't get it right, man. Right now, I'm holding my. I got my hands on my head right now, like the face palm. I got the face palm going on over here. I'm like, come on, y'all got to be kidding me. You know, it just doesn't make any sense. This team, I hate to say it, I don't see any winning for this team anytime soon. I just don't.
Unless there's a change in the front office.
More like a change in the net and in ownership.
There you go, because they just changed the front office.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. So is this guy trying to take a page out of Dolan's book and try to be cheap?
No, what they're going to do is these are big names. Mets fans are like Jets fans or like Knicks fans.
Yep.
If you give them a name and you make a splash,
amen.
We're back. We're back. Yeah. We're gonna make the playoffs this year. We back. We got Realmuto.
Mm-hmm.
We got Conforto. We got Nimmo.
Mm-hmm.
We got Yoenis old. Whatever old.
Mm-hmm.
We got DeGrom old.
Exactly. It's ridiculous with them. Just like you said, Chandler, the fans. I have so many little fans at my job. It's not even funny. They're just ridiculous, man. You cannot win a fight with a Mets fan. You just can't. An argument, debate, you can't.
No.
You just can't. You just can't. I had this one guy telling me some stuff today, and I was like, "Oh, okay. So I see you're gonna go from celebrating in April to celebrating in May, right? I got you.
Yeah.
You know, because that's what they do."
Yeah. Oh, they're gonna get Robbie. Oh man, we got Robbie Cano, and they're getting him cheap. So now we're gonna be good. Okay.
Yeah.
You got Robbie Cano, but you still got Travis. You still got Wilmer Flores on your freaking roster.
Right.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Exactly, bro. Ridiculous. They'll never learn. Some fans they just don't get it. They want to stay stuck on stupid. I'm like, wow, man, wow. You guys aren't looking long term. Again, short sightedness. That's just what it is.
And again, remember we talked last week about Corey Kluber. The Indians have put Corey Kluber on the block. Once again, if you really wanted to try to shortcut the rebuild, right? And I'm gonna go back to the Cano trade. You don't give up your top prospects for Cano, you give them up for Kluber.
Yeah. Thank you.
And then if you still want to trade Syndergaard, you can because you still have a stud second pitcher, right? So now you got your catcher.
Right.
So now you got two stud pitchers, a catcher. You've got a stud closer in Diaz. And you have Cano. And see, here's the thing. What I would have done to get Diaz is I would have just eaten Cano's whole contract. I was eating his whole contract.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Give me Diaz, and I'm gonna take the entire contract. Okay, because he's gonna be bad no matter what to the end of that contract.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Then you take those prospects, you flip them for Kluber, you take Syndergaard, you flip him for Real Muto and some good prospects, right? That's how you shortcut a rebuild.
Right.
That's how you shortcut
indeed.
A rebuild.
For sure.
Not the way they're doing
it. For sure. No. No. Nope. Exactly. They're just the worst, man. They are just the worst.
Mm-mm.
Oh, my Lord. Thank God I'm not a Mets fan. Thank God I'm not a Mets fan. I'm sorry. Thank God. I say my poor brother, he's a big-time Mets fan, and it just breaks my heart, poor soul. You know? He's like, oh, this is the year. This is the year. I'm like, dude.
Yeah.
Really?
Same thing.
Exactly. I'm like, you know, after they went to the World Series, now we're going to start a dynasty. I'm like, okay, you sure about that? You sure you want to put that out there? And then I get back at them. I'm like, what happened? You know, it's just ridiculous, man. Typical Mets fan, man. I'm like, damn, man. Thank God I'm not one. Yeah, bro. Thank God I'm not one. Oh, but gentlemen, I think I'm going to call it. You know what I'm saying? But it was good having you guys on. Chandler, thanks for joining me for the boxing talk. Thank you, Ryan Foley, for being there as well. My man Marshall from Owensboro, Kentucky. Did I get that correct?
You got it correct. You're good.
Okay. Thanks for joining us, buddy. I appreciate you. And the other callers that were too scared to put their hands up in the queue, all good. People in the chat room, thank you for joining us. That's it for this edition of In the Paint. Join us Monday at I think we might do it again at 9. So just keep your eyes out for that. I think we might do it at 9. I'll let you know for sure. What can I say, man? It's been another great show. We're in the paint. The call number is 347-426-3634. And listen, have a great weekend, everybody, and have a pleasant night. Peace out, guys.